You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Biden would fly people in the middle of the night, dump them all across this country. There was no warning on any of this. And all those people in D.C. and New York were beating their chests when Trump was president, saying they were so proud to be sanctuary jurisdictions, saying how bad it was to have a secure border. The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk, and they're so upset that this is happening. And it just shows you, you know, their virtue signaling is a fraud, okay? They are supporting policies that are just, frankly, indefensible.
Indefensible, and they're exposed for the fraud they are. That's Florida Governor DeSantis after sending two plane loads of illegals from the border to Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard. I'll break it down for you. This is September 15, 2022. Reminding you, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com and enter in the search engine just one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right to our page. Remember, every program later is posted as a podcast at larryconnorsusa.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. So, Martha's Vineyard. You ever been there? I have not. Now, you might see some vineyard T-shirts and sweaters going around of folks who have been there, and all they brought back me was a T-shirt or a sweater. But Martha's Vineyard, here's the way it's described. The Vineyard Commission found the cost of living on the island is 60% higher than the national average. 60% higher. The housing prices are about 96% higher than average. Should that not tell you this is a very special enclave? A lot of liberals in that area. And there are some conservatives as well that like to have nice homes there. One of the most notable residents in the area right now would be former President Barack Obama, who has about a $14 million home on Martha's Vineyard. That's an island just south of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And it's also known by being connected to a smaller island you might recall that figured in the history of the Kennedys, Chappaquiddick Island. So last night, late yesterday, Ron DeSantis delivers about 48 illegals at Martha's Vineyard at the airport. The Vineyard Gazette said they came from Texas, but they didn't. He sent them up there. And while he was doing that, right into the face of a liberal enclave, Texas Governor Abbott was sending two buses of illegals to the official residence of VP Harris in D.C. Next stop, Hollywood. At least that's what I would say. I've been saying that for several years now. Start dropping them off in front of the Hollywood elite estates. See if they'll lower the gate over their moat and let those illegals have a place. Now, Senator Grant, we're going to get into how they're being treated, what's going on, how it's being reported by local press. But we got other news as well. Senator Grassley says the DOJ and FBI continue playing a game, hiding details of how and why they ignored the Hunter Biden laptop, but giving a green light to allegations that Trump colluded with Russia when they had no facts. The New York Post is reporting the Facebook has been spying on you. Spying on you. If you've been writing any comments on Facebook and your private email about questioning the 2020 election or anything they consider subversive, they're spying on you. Who do you think is going to get that information? My guest will be Zach Smith, a legal expert with Heritage. We're going to take a closer look at the Illinois Safety Act. It is a farce. As of January 1, those charged with second-degree murder, murder when drug-induced, kidnapping, other crimes will be set free, no bail. And Democrats continue beating January 6 drums now trying to tie what happened on January 6th to parents who protest at school board meetings. They're trying to say that those were insurrectionists at January 6th. They're unpatriotic. Well, I have called them out for those who actually took and assaulted police. But they also are playing very, very loose with the facts. And now they're trying to wrap it all into school board meetings. Here's the situation with Democrats or anybody on a losing side. Facts don't really matter if they're going to be against you. And my other saying is, if you don't have the steak, sell the sizzle. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is something new. Buses filled with migrants from our southern border have just arrived outside Vice President Kamala Harris's residence at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. It was at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon that a couple of planes with 50 Venezuelan migrants arrived, apparently courtesy of Ron DeSantis. Apparently nobody was alerted on the island before they showed up. Some of the people, according to the Boston Globe, did not know where they were. Well, you know what? If you don't know where you are, you're in Martha's Vineyard, one of the most spectacular progressive celebrity destinations in the world.
I love it. Those are two Fox reports we butted together. One, Governor Abbott sending buses to the VP Harris official residence at the Naval Observatory in D.C. and then letting the people out there wandering around the yard and not sure what to do, where to go. Understandable. And then DeSantis sending two planes with illegals into Martha's Vineyard. Now, I want you to keep in mind something. You're going to hear the Democrats cry and shout over it, stunt, stunt, you're using people as a pawn. Riddle me this. Has this administration not been using illegals as a pawn even before they got into office? Yes. Would they continue? Yes. All we're doing now is say, rather than put all the pressure on the border towns, why don't you learn how to handle it yourself and see how difficult it is? And my God, the liberals are just caving. Mayor D.C. of Bowser, oh, we can't handle this. We need federal, we need National Guard troops. Pentagon refused to send them. And in New York City, Mayor Adams saying, this is too much. It's over filling our facilities, we can't. And I think they turned away something like three dozen homeless in New York City because they had already filled the facilities with illegals? Do you think they might understand that's, and that's just 8,000 to maybe 10,000 max at each of them? Do you think they might get some understanding of what's happening in these border communities that are overrun at 15 to 20 to 30,000 within every 2 to 3 weeks? And how are they trying to handle them? Even the non-government agencies set up trying to help, they're running out of help and can't do it. The Catholic facilities and other churches trying to help, they can't do it all. It's a mass influx. But when we're in the north, when we're in a nice little enclave, we don't see all of that down there, and we're okay. We then only see it to the extent that the White House spokeswoman the other day denied that illegals are just walking across the border. Well, they don't do that. I don't like calling someone an idiot, but when you say an idiotic thing like that, you're an idiot. Look at the video. It's there every day, every night, of illegals walking across the border. Sometimes swimming across the Rio Grande, some of them losing their life in trying to do so. So we had these illegals that were dropped in front of the Harris residence, and we had those flown into Martha's Vineyard. Let me give you a breakdown of Martha's Vineyard again. The Chamber of Commerce at Martha's Vineyard talks about, in fact says, visit Martha's Vineyard. Well, sure. And then you want to know what to do once you're there. Well, first of all, they say how to get here. Well, that's easy. Get on, come across the border illegally and say, I want to go to Martha's Vineyard. They'll put you on a plane, deliver you. You don't even have to pay for it. And then when you get there, things you can do and play and where to stay and arts and culture. And I'm looking at the pictures they've got up on their Martha's Vineyard Chamber of Commerce. And I want to point something out. And I'm surprised I have to be the one to point it out. They're showing several people having a good time at Martha's Vineyard. There is not one person of color. Not even a heavy tan. Now, what does that suggest? For the liberals, it's okay if that's the way we're running it here, but no, you know, that's obviously against minority groups. Well, now we've sent some to them. And what are they doing? Well, they're taking action that they're trying to make it look like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to take care of it. Let me read you a couple of the news reports. This is from the Vineyard Gazette writing its story and talks about these planes with 50 migrants arriving from Venezuela and Colombia. And the state senator there said, these are the reverse freedom rides of the 60s. This is a cruel ruse manipulating families who are seeking a better life. So was it better for them to stay at the border where they're overcrowded in facilities or bring them to an island that's surrounded by beauty and people that might be able to bring them into their homes? I don't think so. I don't see, as I look at this, not one family is offering to board them at their house. You know what they're doing? They gathered them all up and took them to St. Augustine's Church and another church, and a Harbor Homes shelter. They're not gonna put them in their home. Are you kidding me? They had an emergency meeting on Zoom, and the fire chief said, we'll take the lead in housing migrants for a period of time, and then we'll move them on. Oh, so they're going to push them on out. One is saying, who's helping coordinate some of the efforts to help them, saying, in typical Vineyard fashion, this will be a community effort to help these people. They're going to tire of it very quickly if you continue sending more plane loads, and I hope we do. So that was the Vineyard Gazette. The Cape Cod Times, as I pointed out to you, that Martha's Vineyard is an island just off Cape Cod in Massachusetts and attached to Chappaquiddick Island. The receptionist, here's the way their article begins. The receptionist at Martha's Vineyard Community Services looked up and found a group of 50 men, women, and children standing in the center's parking lot. They didn't speak English, but they got the help of a Spanish translator from a nearby regional high school and learned they're from Venezuela. And they had to walk, oh my God, he points out, they had to walk from the airport to the community center. 2 miles. 2 miles. These are illegals who have probably trekked hundreds of miles from southern Mexico, much less out of the central states, much less out of deeper into South America, Central and South America, to get to our U.S. border. And they're making a big deal. They had to actually walk 2 miles. And again, they say, well, we're gonna step up and help. I don't see a story, one, that says they're going to bring anybody into their homes. Not one. And see, that's where, again, the hypocrisy lies. If they want to say, we're all so concerned we're going to be helpful. I know you couldn't take all of them in your home, but you know the size of these homes at Cape Cod, the mansions. Obama's house not too far down the road, and he's got plenty of room. I don't see him moving forward to help. I don't see any of the other rich in the Martha's Vineyard. And if they got their pleasure and their home, I'm happy for them. Not jealous. But now when we're seeing how much you'll help your fellow man, you will tell others how they should be helping, but you're not. And even on your Chamber of Commerce page, you don't even feature one person of color. You better grab these pictures while they're there. Oh, and please do not have them doing gardening work and stuff like that. That won't look good either. And then, of course, we got 2 busloads sent by Governor Abbott in Texas right into D.C., stopping right in front of the Naval Observatory, which is the official residence of VP Harris.
They had to voluntarily board these buses. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been telling repeatedly that these are volunteers. They get on board these buses. They're told where they're going. Their hopes are that they'd be near a family who could host them. But again, quite a picture, as we have seen a number of these buses. There have been bus dropped off in New York, in Martha's Vineyard most recently by Governor Ron DeSantis. That was a plane ride. And in a lot of towns where the folks, the local leadership, don't even know they're arriving. I don't think that Vice President Harris had any knowledge of this happening outside her front door.
I very much doubt it.
No, she did not know anything about it. But of course, keep in mind, as Governor DeSantis was saying earlier, in the middle of the night, the Biden administration was flying plane loads of illegals deep into the interior of the country, just dropping them off at places and not letting those cities and communities know they were coming. And you heard the other day, Chicago Mayor Lightfoot complained, this is not fair, we weren't even advised they were coming. And so did D.C. Mayor Bowser. Well, nobody told us in advance. And you know what each of those mayors did? They put them on buses and shipped them into neighboring communities. In particular, in Chicago, they put them into a Republican neighborhood and didn't tell that Republican mayor we're sending them over there. Now, who's using them as pawns at that point? There is a tragedy in the sense of all this. I don't want you to forget it. The mocking I'm displaying is really aimed at the hypocritical attitude of the left, not the illegals. They have been told the border is open. And in fact, one reporter asking one of them, what is your understanding? Is the border open? And they say, see, the border is open. This administration claims it's not, but of course it is. We know it. They know it. And so they're trekking hundreds of miles, usually at the hands of drug cartel members, and are being raped and assaulted along the way. And then when they get here, they're going to have to pay off a large amount of money, or their family back home will be in jeopardy. But the attitude of the left has been, we want them into our country. Bring them in. Bring them in. But not in my backyard. Sound familiar? And I will tell you this also. These people, despite the hardships you hear them being complained about, they're getting it better now where they were. All right, let me change subjects. We're going to have more on this in the next hour. Senator Grassley and Senator Johnson have been conducting inquiries as to, based on information from FBI whistleblowers. And they've been trying to get the FBI and the DOJ to come forward and in testimony in front of them answer direct questions. They had Christopher Wray a while back, didn't really get anything solid out of him, so they want to go after some specifically named by whistleblowers. Senator Grassley says what we're seeing right now that's happening is a dual standard of justice.
Based on allegations, the Justice Department and FBI approved investigative activities into Trump based on substantial part on, can you believe it, just liberal news articles and information derived from liberal nonprofit. On the other hand, the FBI shut down investigative activities, which include verified and verifiable information related to Hunter.
Yeah. He's just reemphasizing what we all know. The DOJ, FBI stories about Russian collusion on Trump and everything that was surrounding it was built simply on a false narrative, and that was repeated and blown up by state-controlled media. And then when it came to the Hunter Biden story, they ignored it and walked away from it because the FBI and DOJ said it's all Russian propaganda. They might think that this little shell game is going to work with Senators Grassley and Johnson and others who want some solid answers, such as you. You may or may not be a Trump supporter. You may or may not be a Biden supporter. But do you want to know the truth? I think most of you at least want that, regardless of your politics. That's why I say on this program, I don't care about your politics when you get down to it. I care about your patriotism, and patriotism demands good, solid answers. And when we come back, Senator Grassley is going to say, the DOJ and the FBI playing this game, if you think you're going to win, you've got another thing coming. And we're going to tell you what Facebook is doing with your messages you put on Facebook.
USA.
And I want to tell you, four powerful members of the United States House and Senate urged the FBI to brief us in regard to that. And simply put, we didn't learn a doggone thing from that briefing. It was set up so things could be leaked. Certain colleagues on the other side use that briefing to falsely paint our then ongoing Biden investigation as advancing Russian disinformation. Now, you all know that that was a put-up deal because even the New York Times and the Washington Post have said now that we weren't pursuing Russian disinformation. The FBI has failed to respond to our request for information about that briefing. Therefore, Senator Johnson and I have requested that these two employees sit for a transcribed interview with us. Now, we've received no response. The Justice Department and the FBI continue to thumb their nose at this committee's oversight jurisdiction.
And that's not going to be good. They're getting away with it now because Republicans do not control the Senate nor the House. But I'm telling you, this is, again, the importance of the midterm election. If you want to get real answers and quit being pushed aside and just basically we don't have to tell you a damn thing, yes, you do, then you need to have people in power that are going to make sure it happens. Back to Dragnet. Just the facts, man. Just give me the facts. Well, they're not going to give you the facts unless you hold their feet to the fire. That's Senator Grassley talking about we are not going to take them thumbing their nose at us. We're going to get some answers at some point. I mentioned earlier that a report is out. This is from the New York Post that Facebook has been spying on possibly your private messages. If you've ever written anything on Facebook in a private message to someone on one of those direct mails to them or something of that nature, and you said anything questioning the 2020 election results, they've been watching and monitoring you so closely. And who do you think they're turning the information over to? And if you do anything that they, quote, say, expresses anti-government sentiments, like you're ticked off, they're going to hire 87,000 IRS agents, that's anti-government. You're also going to be on that list. It is all part of an FBI collaboration. They have admitted that. At least an employee at Facebook said, we've red flagged private messages containing these over the last 19 months. One source said it was done outside the legal process without probable cause. Facebook provides the FBI with private conversations which are protected by the First Amendment without any subpoena. And these are shared as leads to FBI field offices. And then they move forward with a subpoena if they decide to. Now, contrast what they're doing with Americans through Facebook and what we're learning from the TikTok COO testifying before the Senate Homeland Security Committee. The TikTok chief operating officer reported or questioned about your company transferring U.S. data to China. And was asked, are you going to cut off all the data and metadata flows to China? That was a question from Senator Rob Portman. Will you cut off this data? And the response from TikTok's chief operating officer declined to comment, but did promise negotiations of that it would carry out with the U.S. government will, quote, satisfy all national security concerns. Chinese national security law dictates all companies located there must cooperate with data requests from that government. So TikTok, owned by the ByteDance group out of China, they're going to get whatever they want. And you, by the way, you on Facebook, you're being reported to the FBI. Coming up, the Safety Act in Illinois and how it's going to turn crime into a going profession.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. I should tell you that we're 40 minutes into this first hour, and I buried today's lead. I did it on purpose. It involves CNNNN. I buried the lead, but I will have it for you before we wrap up the next 2 hours. And you're going to say, oh, my God, Larry, what? Why did you do that? Well, I'll explain. That'll be coming up later. Note coming out of Memphis, the Tennessee man accused of kidnapping and then killing, plus raping that Memphis teacher who was out for a jog early in the morning, now indicted and charged and under a $1 million bond. That's in Tennessee. If it had been in Illinois, he might be walking the streets right now. And to discuss what that situation involves, my guest, Zach Smith, legal fellow and manager of the Supreme Court and Advocacy Program, with the Heritage Foundation, several years as an assistant U.S. attorney in Florida. Zach, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, you guys have done a good job of documenting these George Soros-appointed DAs and other prosecutors across the country. And now we have in the state of Illinois that's going to go into effect January 1, the Safety Act, which is obviously misnamed. There's nothing that's going to be safe for the citizens. It's an acronym built off Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity Today Act. But it allows that if you're charged with second-degree murder, aggravated battery, arson with or drug-induced homicide, kidnapping, burglary, they're going to set you free without a bail. Maybe folks just haven't realized how serious this is yet.
Well, it's absolutely insane, Larry, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I was reading what some of the other state prosecutors, the local DAs around Illinois, are saying about this bill. And the ones that actually take their oath seriously and want to do their jobs responsibly seem to be horrified by it. One of the local DAs in Winnebago County, Illinois, said that the day this bill takes effect, he expects about half of the current population of the jail in his county to be released immediately on the street. In addition to the list of crimes you listed, Larry, there are many others as well. Essentially, this handcuffs the ability of prosecutors and judges to essentially weigh the two considerations that have always come into account when deciding whether or not to release someone pending trial. Judges have always considered whether someone poses a flight risk or whether someone poses a risk to their community. And essentially, under this new law, it'll be much, much more difficult for judges and prosecutors to make sure that those two traditional functions of bail are being fulfilled.
You know, you bring up something I've discussed before with the audience. That is, you will hear, well, we're going to let this person out of jail because, and I ain't talking about Illinois in this bill, but we're going to let them out because they were just in there for a drug offense, you know, carrying, maybe distributing, but no violence or anything. Well, that's because, as you well know, they may plead down, take the gun charge off the table, and I'm just in on drugs, so then I get a chance to get out earlier. But do you suspect any drug cartel member is not going around with guns?
Well, I mean, it would be hard to imagine. But look, Larry, what this does, it creates perverse incentives for criminals and criminal organizations like cartels, organized crimes, and others to essentially prey on the most vulnerable members of our society, not only in terms of pushing drug products to them, destroying their neighborhoods with increased crime, but also recruiting them into criminal organizations. You know, part of the push we've seen as well is to not charge juvenile offenders as adults in any cases, not require jail for juvenile offenders in most cases. And I want to be clear, when I say juvenile offenders, I mean 15, 16, 17-year-old individuals who are fully capable of wreaking great harm on their communities. And so knowing that those individuals won't be held accountable, it creates the perverse incentives for gangs and gang members to go out, actively recruit those individuals to commit heinous crimes because they know they will not face the same punishments that those over 18 would.
Well, but they're trying to claim, look, we may still face charges, but it's just that we'll be out on bail. We won't be locked up. And to that extent, Governor Pritzker said, this will mark a substantial step toward dismantling systemic racism, plaguing our communities, our state, and our nation, and bring us closer to safety and true justice. Where's the buzzer that said,
It gets me a little riled up, Larry, because I have a few thoughts on this, because that's something we hear over and over again. Those on the left, they like to say that our criminal justice system is systemically racist. It's not. They like to push the myth that we have a mass incarceration problem. We don't. And it's exactly what you were alluding to earlier. You know, if you listen to those on the left, you would think there are hundreds or thousands of people currently sitting in jail, prison, or federal prison on simple possession charges. That's just not the case. The majority, the overwhelming majority of people who are currently incarcerated are repeat violent offenders. And so whenever you talk about reducing our prison population, you know, allowing more people back onto the street, it necessarily means that fewer repeat violent offenders are going to be off the street away from law-abiding community members.
Let me break down some of this for the folks again. And we've done several stories on this already, but this kind of slipped into legislation around midnight as they began this, you know, wrapping up their previous session, just kind of slid it under the door. But it goes into effect January 1, and I don't see anything that's going to stop it at this point, but basically that if you were charged, as I said, with second-degree murder, that's a pretty serious offense, they're not going to make you pay any bail. If you commit a homicide, but you can claim, well, I was drug-induced, they're not going to make you post bail. If you kidnap someone, no bail for that. We're this, and then fleeing and eluding, police have been told that if you start chasing, they continue to run, just turn off your light and pull off. Unless they're actively firing at you or running over citizens. And then we will bring them in, and then we'll let them out on bail, without bail.
Well, and here's another thing for you, Larry. You know, traditionally, if someone doesn't show up to court for their assigned court case, especially in very serious cases like murder, rape, robbery, theft, if they're out, a judge will issue a bench warrant for them in order that they be arrested and brought to court. Well, under this new law, the Safety Act, someone has to miss their court dates at least two times before a judge can issue a bench warrant. So if you miss your first court date, the court will nicely ask you to come a second time, and only then will they issue a bench warrant. But look, here's the problem, Larry. We've seen this same approach. It's been tried in Chicago and New York and other places, and we know what the results are going to be. It's going to lead to increased crime. It's going to lead to just disaster in the communities where these violent felons are released back into them.
Yeah.
The other aspect of this, Larry, is Kim Fox, the rogue prosecutor in Chicago, even when people violate their bail conditions, those who have been released, when they violate their conditions, she's not holding them accountable, not instituting new charges. And so there's literally no accountability throughout the system.
I have suggested that if you really think that that's an issue with the folks being improperly treated in jail, then why don't you open up your home and say, I will take some of those folks into my home until their trial date. I haven't seen anyone volunteer for that.
Well, I haven't seen anyone volunteer for that either. And I suspect it's because, you know, people know that law enforcement officials, they have tough, dangerous jobs that includes many prison guards and prison officials as well. Because really, when they are empowered to do their jobs, they can keep our communities safe. But right now, elected officials are instead choosing to defund and demoralize our law enforcement officers and choosing not to enforce laws that should keep us all safe.
In Illinois, the Wills County State Attorney had said it's going to be the end of days once this law kicks in. But, of course, a lot of folks think, well, it doesn't bother me. It's just Illinois. If you live in Illinois, it bothers you. But it's more than that. If you have relatives or friends in Illinois, if you're traveling through Illinois, if you are just simply landing at the airport and you're then going to get on another plane and leave, anything that happens to you there by someone, you're going to be subjected to someone carrying out criminal behavior because they know they can get away with it even at the airport. Last 30 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind this is part of a national movement, too. You know, we've seen this primarily in big urban cities so far. It's moving out to the suburbs. It's moving out to rural communities as well. And so Illinois is just one of the first stops on the with the individuals who are pushing this radical left-leaning agenda. And so unless we're all vigilant, all paying attention, and willing to stand up and say, no, this is not right, this is not good for our communities, it will continue to happen.
Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation, as always, I appreciate your time, expertise. We will be revisiting this story.
Thanks so much, Larry. Take care.
You bet. Zach Smith. Coming up, we have a national rail strike averted. That's good. And it took some hard negotiating. Where was Transportation Secretary Buttigieg? What did he offer, or did he offer anything?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That damn dumb flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the word came through that we have apparently avoided a railway strike that would certainly cut deep into the veins of our U.S. economy that's already bleeding. And the Association of American Railroads, of course, representing freight railroads, said the new contracts negotiated with three unions representing 60,000 workers will include a 24% wage increase during the five-year period from 2020 through 2024. So there's going to be a retroactive pay hike, apparently going to be a one-time payout, averaging about $11,000 per worker upon ratification. As far as the details of if it's justified and overdue, I don't know, and I'm not going to get into that. What I want to look at, I mean, if they've got something that avoids a national rail crisis at this point, that's good. Hopefully, I started to say hopefully, we weren't basically backed in that corner and extorted to come up with such a deal, but you use the power you can when you're negotiating, right? I mean, you don't just roll over and say, okay, hit me as many times as you want and I'll figure out something I want to do. So this obviously took a lot of time and effort on both sides. The Labor Secretary actually ended up hosting this emergency meeting of rail carriers and unions trying to help broker a deal. But they were already having some disruptions being in a ripple effect across the nation. Amtrak had already started canceling long-distance trains starting yesterday and again today. But now it looks like everything will be back on schedule. And that's one way to run a railroad, on schedule, right? It's not clear by looking at this as to how it's actually going to impact everything, but you cannot deny that Biden needed this to be resolved. This is the last thing the Biden White House economy needs. It's the last thing the U.S. economy needs. I will stress that. I know folks who have worked on the railroad, and they work hard and long hours and whatever their job is. I mean, they care about it. They do it with as much professionalism as required. And they take it seriously, not just transport the cargo, but passengers. Well, that's involved with Amtrak. So this is avoiding a crippling strike so far. The railroad workers say they needed the big hike because the U.S. economy has experienced the worst inflation, is experiencing the worst inflation in four decades, 40 years. Do you think the Biden administration, that maybe antenna went up, said, you know, God, I guess they're right. No, no, they're still indicating that. No, everything's fine. As Biden said, inflation is in our rearview mirror. We're going to be fine. What it means is he's going to be fine, and those around him will be fine. And those in Martha's Vineyard will be fine, except for the illegals that got flown in, unless they're busy trying to help them. We're going to deal with that more in the next hour again. That and the buses going to the VP Harris official residence in D.C. But higher wages obviously will in turn create more demand for goods and services, which in turn will create a need for higher wages, and it goes around and around and around. Any basic economic student understands that. As they also understand that you're in a recession when you have two quarters back-to-back where your gross domestic product drops. That's a recession. It may not be a deep recession, but it's a recession. You think this administration will begin to understand economics? Nah, don't hold your breath. Because they still are excited about all they're spending on the Green New Deal. That's where Biden was yesterday, along with Transportation Secretary Buttigieg. Rather than focusing on the biggest thing next to the shipping crisis and stack up and blocks we had at the ports around our nation, this would have been the next biggest issue for Buttigieg, and he was absent again. He was with the president because they were in Detroit talking about all the electric vehicles that are going to be brought out and the billions of dollars in subsidies and the so-called Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, and just pushing that. He didn't want to go anywhere near this possible labor strike with the railroads, and actually it might have been best that he didn't. He's not a quick, oh, he rides a train from time to time. I think he mentioned that when he was nominated to be the transportation secretary. What do you know about transportation and things like, well, I ride trains sometimes. Oh, but good. I see them going by. I guess I know something, too. So they have ended what would have been a politically and economically stalemate for the president and the nation. And Pete Buttigieg, your transportation secretary, was busy standing beside Biden looking at all the electric vehicles and plans for more electric vehicles to come out of Detroit. Giving them billions of dollars in subsidies for that. So the railway workers, you might have still gotten screwed, really. There was billions of dollars going to electric cars that aren't built yet. This goes for all Americans, whatever your JOB is. But that's been the process of operations for this administration. Coming up, more about illegals being flown into Martha's Vineyard and into VP Harris's home. And I buried the lead, I told you. That'll be coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.